The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, we have Damanji Padam. He's Vice President for Technical Solutions, and Joe Savukas, Vice President for Delivery at Macro Solutions. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine.
Good morning. Afternoon. I'm all confused. I have no idea what... I know the Nationals are playing, so I'm happy. So it's a good time of year to be. I've heard about this company, Macro Solutions. They've had a lot of success in the last 15 years. And I like to bring in companies that are successful because I want to pick their brains and go, okay, what's the magic sauce? Why are you different? How come you survived in this vicious competitive marketplace just littered with companies that have been around for 2 years and failed, 3 years and failed, 9 years and failed, but 15, 16 years, yeah, I must have learned some lessons here. So I thought I'd bring in these folks to talk about success with handling federal customers and what their magic is, and then talk about agile software development and maybe compare it to what they have to say with what a guy named Tony Scott has to say and some of their experiences in the field. But first of all, Joe, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Macro Solutions.
Moved from the Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area to D.C. back in the mid-80s. Started out actually in government financials. I'm a CPA. Ended up putting in an ERP system for a city and actually left the government to work for that vendor, KPMG Consulting, and worked with them for a few years. Was a product manager supporting their particular ERP system, then hopped over to PeopleSoft, which was a great company to work for. Very, very high penetration in the state local government, which is where I started. And then when I moved to DC after leaving for a while, decided I was going to start a family. And being in DC, I wanted to get off the road, and therefore the federal market was definitely where I wanted to be. So stayed with PeopleSoft, went through the Oracle acquisition, and then became an independent consultant for a while, supporting PeopleSoft in addition to other ERP and PMO opportunities. One of my engagements was with Macro Solutions.
They snagged you.
Yes, they did. The engagement ended. We parted ways, and about 6 months later, they had gotten a little bit bigger and wanted to expand their back office infrastructure in terms of being able to support delivery. And that's when I came on board as one of the internals.
And I think the summary is you have an accounting background with your CPA, but you also have a project management background with PMP, which is a very powerful skill set in this town, especially for financial institutions. So
absolutely,
you got the numbers and you got the project management, hopefully some portfolio management as well. But that's a pretty good combination to have if you're dealing with agencies that have financial situations, and most of them have aspects that they have to deal with. On the other side of the table is Damanjit Padam. Tell us about your background, how you wound up with Macro Solutions, Damanjit.
Well, John, I actually started out as a software engineer and delivered a lot of products right from inception to the production environments, and worked my way from just a software engineer in the small companies to supporting different organizations, which included financial institutions, both in non-federal and federal side. At one point, I was at IBM, and that provided me quite a bit of exposure to many different kind of clientele. One of those was also a few contracts that Macro is currently working on. So sometime around last year, we started to talk about a few opportunities that came on the horizon. They were looking for a technical partner and a person who can lead the solution architecture and also help grow the solutions, if you will, within the company. As we grow into a small business to medium to large business. So it sounded like a pretty good opportunity. And just beyond being a technical person, providing an you know, outlet where I can grow, and it seems like it worked out pretty well. So that's how I ended up with
that. Yeah, Demanja was a great pickup for us. In fact, he's leading our initiatives in terms of the Agile practice itself. In addition, we are examining obsolete technology migrations, different tool sets associated with that. We've investigated from a mainframe perspective, moving the government, which still has tremendous mainframe, off of there to, and that's what.
So, Demanja just got a master's degree in computer engineering, and you got the CPA, got the powerful punch here. So, if an agency's got some financial situations, opportunities, they could plug either one of you in or your company in, and you can at least give them some options, some choices for what. And I think that's what I want people to do is I want people to go to your website, which is macrosolutions.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
That is correct.
And if you show up at the site, I want them to do something. So there's got to be something to download. Is there a white paper there or something, Demanja? What do they have to download?
Yeah, so as Joe mentioned, we have been, we started Agile and really started it from macro within and learned a lot of lessons there. It started to apply to our clients. And it looks like now we have a recipe which is more practical and we can pretty much understand at one point, you know, are we going in the right direction? Any adjustments we want to make? And we captured all that in a white paper. We should be coming online. I think it will be a great thing for people to download as far as lessons learned.
What's the title, Joe? What's the title of this white paper? Agile Success in the Federal Government. Got it right in front of me and trying to get you guys to lean into this. You know, the people are going to be listening to this in football season, and they're going to go, well, geez, let me download something and learn about Agile software development. So download this white paper, whether it's 2 years from now or after the Nationals went in the World Series or whatever, and learn more about Agile software development. We're really going to focus on that today. So way back when you folks were very young and probably in grade school, back in 2001, bunch of men got together on a mountaintop in Utah, and they came up with the Agile Manifesto. That sounds like communism or something. You know, it sounds like a political statement, but it's not. It's got to do with software development. So, Joe, before we take a break here, why don't you paint the picture of why these people got in this mountaintop and even talked about this?
Well, they were in the field, had seen multiple methodologies come through the line. We had SDLC, we had JAD, we had RAD, especially in the 90s. They saw lots and many, many, many project failures along the way. Many costs, high costs, no delivery, and decided what is wrong. How can we actually make the product better, support the customers in their mission, and be able to deliver faster with lower risk? Came up with the manifesto. They have the, what, five pillars?
Yep.
Of the manifesto. And basically, it's all about delivery of function and service. And that's a lot different than just managing a project.
So the traditional way might be considered some like a waterfall methodology, which the requirements are gathered. 6 months later, they're published. And then 2 years later, you have a system that's delivered and it fails, and then everyone gets mad.
Absolutely.
That's the 1990s, I think.
I think it was pretty much the need of the hour at that point, John. As you mentioned, 2001 was around the time when I was a software developer at that time. And I struggled with the fact that we came to the construction phase, we did all these requirements, and we are 2 weeks into it, and everything is changing. Customers want something different, and it was always hard to figure out, you know, where we are going. And they basically hit the ball out of the park with the manifesto and what we wanted to do, and was a great start.
Let me give you a quick summary of the manifesto. It's from Tony Scott when he was working at Disney. He'd be in the room coding, and he'd run outside to some of the people and say, what do you think of this? He'd come back in and write some code, go outside, what do you think of this? And what he was showing was that iterations, changes and listening, and so that's a good way to describe Agile and my mental, some, you know, and he did an interview in NextGov and he talked about that. When he was at Dizzy, he and he tried to avoid the failure by getting feedback quickly. So let's take a break. We can come back. We'll talk more about Agile software development and maybe expand on this concept of the Agile Manifesto, and especially how it applies to the federal government. And I think what many of my listeners want to know is, well, what about the aspects of procurement with Agile software development? What about portfolio management with Agile software development? And maybe when should we not, heaven forbid, not use Agile software development? There may be projects where it's not appropriate. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Damanjit Padam, Vice President, and Joe Savukas, Vice President of Delivery for Macro Solutions. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Damanjit Padam, Vice President of Technical Solutions, and Joe Savukas, Vice President of Delivery at Macro, M-A-C-R-O, Macro Solutions. Don't have to even spell that because it's so radio-friendly, macrosolutions.com. Before the break, we were talking about Agile software development. We back to the roots back in 2001 on a mountaintop in Utah. And, you know, when I think of Agile, I think of iterations and being flexible and being responsive, and that can have applications to the project, the portfolio, the procurement, Damanjit, all kinds of applications for Agile here, aren't there?
Oh, there are. In fact, even though it started out as a software methodology to deliver software that was more aligned with how the customer was looking at what they expected out of it, it has applications to many of the service delivery aspects, and we have applied that at our clients in that approach too. But really, what happens is the reason it's catching on is because the users are able to get to what they are looking at the end. You must have seen a cartoon that used to float around back in early 2000s. Where a business analyst, we see something on the tree and will draw a picture for the developer, and they will understand it's something different. Towards the end, what the customer gets is nothing but something on the ground. It was a hilarious cartoon at that point for me. But however, there was irony in it. It also reflected that, you know, how disconnected and why the communication broke down and what was wrong with it. And with this manifesto and what came online, the amount of communication, the amount of back and forth that needed to happen so that we always stayed in alignment with what customers wanted was critical. And that's what customers are getting now. They are able to get to what they really desire towards the end. For the software delivery, for anything, if you look at it, even for the services, you know, we start with the client. They just know that they want something delivered from the perspective that, you know, just go do this for me, or I do not really know, but, you know, we'll figure it out. It's a perfect approach to slowly work with them iteratively and come to the right expectations. Very hard to capture always in words. Words are hard to describe and open to interpretation, and there is nothing better than you talking to your product owner every day and trying to, you know, basically understanding what they want in the end. And in fact, where we have applied this, they do see, what we have seen is they do see towards the end improvement in their bottom line, and that's exactly what was required.
So, Joe, let's put this in work boots. A couple of concepts associated with your company. One is called Macro Assurance and Consultant Care. Is that Agile and work boots?
I wouldn't exactly describe it as Agile. It's actually just a feature that our company has put in place in terms of being able to retain staff. That's what consultant care is. Basically, we have assigned resources that just deal with our consultants. They're advocates for our consultants. They are outside of the direct chain of command, so there is freedom for our resources to reach out, explain situations, and be an advocate for them to someone like me, actually, or our project managers or our executive staff. That's, I think, one of the main features in terms of our ability to hire and retain people.
From Agile perspective, John, it is very helpful because a lot of people start to think that it's a very monotonous, you're doing iterations day in and day out. But you know, there is a human aspect to it, and people have lives, and we want, macro does want people to have a work-life balance. And if there are anything that the consultants wants to voice, this is a very good channel.
This is it.
Mm-hmm. And it provides that the touch, the family company that macro is, helps us stay in touch with our consultants, and also give them the best opportunity to environment to work in.
Yeah. And in terms of macro assurance, that's one of our quality mechanisms that we had actually put some emphasis on. But when we received our CMMI Level 3 for services and software development, it was something that we formalized completely. The idea is we meet with our clients, level set expectations for a six-month period, identify those items, and then come back in 6 months or 3 months to do a check-in, a level set, or an adjustment of their long-term goals, and make sure that we, as macro, are delivering appropriate quality and services, for what they're paying.
So, Damanji, let me paint the picture that everyone knows, kind of the 500-pound elephant in the room. In most federal agencies, they have forced separation of duties. They have a vertical authority structure. And if you apply Agile concepts to that, it's very difficult because Agile says have small teams, have different skill sets in the team, and don't necessarily have a long list, 50, 60 pages of system requirements, be Agile. So is it difficult to apply that to the federal government?
It is definitely a concept, and that has to be reckoned with to a point that if it has not been applied, it is a cultural change for the agency. And what we have learned during our transitions is we go in and present that point of view upfront. We let them know, here are the pitfalls. This is what you should expect and will happen. We want to understand their culture. We want to understand how we can apply Agile. There are definitely aspects that every organization has where one size fits all does not work. And we have learned that as a lesson. And however, we work with what is the expected outcome. We want to be able to work with the client and get their inputs regularly so that we can keep moving forward. There are definitely challenges as far as the organizational structure is concerned. There are challenges as far as the revenue streams are concerned. Those are all discussed. And as long as we have support, we can continue going in with momentum, letting them explain this is where we see the pitfalls are, and this is what you should expect. Fail fast, but recover faster. That is basically what we work with, and work with the leadership in the agencies to come up with a common understanding on how we can apply these.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question here. When you have experience working in financial institutions, large federal financial institutions, and back at Damanjeet's Donuts, they got donuts they're selling. That's a product. You could be a product manager there. Mm-hmm. With Agile software development, there's this concept called a product owner. And so if I walk into a government agency and try to solve their problem with a financial situation, what's the product owner got to do with this problem?
Well, finding the product owners, I think the first issue we have to come up with, it is a relatively new concept in the federal space, at least. And we're lucky at one of our clients to have direct product owners. So we do.
You can do that.
Yes,
wow.
And that's where we're actually have applied services deployment in an agile fashion. So we have daily scrums in terms of feature delivery, software delivery, in addition to onboarding different applications and vendor teams for continuous integration, continuous deployment. And that's where the separation of duties that you brought up earlier comes into play. We still have those separations in place, But they're more of a quality check as opposed to a true handoff of manual functions. And the new tool sets that are available have been very, very helpful in that. So right now we have built CI/CD. We're reaching out to our quality software tools to verify before anything is deployed. We are reaching out to the security tool sets for a scan before anything can be deployed within the environments. And then ultimately, once something hits production, it does go to that other group. They do have to run a checklist, and then they do the deployment.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about agile software development and some of the success Macro Solutions has had in applying agile software development to financial problems and financial institutions. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Damanjit Padam, Vice President, and Joe Savukas, Vice President of Delivery at Macro Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Damanjit Padam, Vice President of Technical Solutions, and Joe Savukas, Vice President of Delivery at Macro Solutions. We're talking about how the heck a federal agency can use agile software development for a project, and let's make it even tougher, how can you use it for a financial-based project or a system or a problem? I mean, that's a pretty big challenge, and we've kind of sliced it and diced it in many, many different ways. A lot of people are listening to you guys and going, well, geez, you got well, what does that guy Joe read? So, Joe, what do you read to keep up with all this? Is there a blog you read or magazines? How do you keep up with all this?
Well, specifically, my background, I spent a lot of time in the financial industry. So Association of Government Accountants is one of the organizations I belong to. They have obviously a lot of IT system and support, make sure that the governance associated with implementation of the IT systems is controlled, understood. That control, unfortunately, is one of the problems associated with agile deployments.
Exactly. That's why it's so hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And baseball's hard, too. So what? It's supposed to be.
It is.
And
it is.
And Damanjit, it's hard, isn't it? So what do you read to keep up?
Many things, John. Actually, I was a big fan of IBM Red Books at one point. I also read DZone and the server side. In addition to just talking about what's happening in the software industry, they do talk about, you know, what are people doing as far as the methodology applies. Those are some of the blogs that I go to, and now there are many different, you know, when I'm looking for problems, just general Google searches and stuff yield a lot of results, but they do not give you exactly what you're looking for. Generally, you have to take that opinion and apply in some way or fashion to execute it at your client's needs.
Good, good, good. Tony Scott, kind of the big dog in this whole world of software development. And there was an interview with him in NextGov last week, and I read it carefully, and he had some very interesting quotes. Here's a quote, and I'll toss it out to you guys, see if you agree or disagree. He said that Agile cannot solve all the federal government technology issues. I agree with that. So how can you not agree with that, huh?
I agree completely.
Yeah. It's part of the puzzle, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I think what Agile works best in is when you do have at least a general idea and scope of the solution. You have those small teams. Agile, when you're talking about massive integrations, perhaps on a warship or with our, what are they called, the warfighters, that perhaps is where Agile can fail. I mean, these are 10-year, 15-year projects to create a new plane. I think at the micro level, though, they can use for the subsystems an agile approach that would probably be very successful.
Yeah. But Damanjit, a wise man once said, if you take text out of context, you get pretext. So if you take agile out of context, it's not going to work. So you have to apply it correctly, don't you?
You do have to. And really the cadence and really when we transition in, you know, you need to go in and transition in with momentum, right? The understand how the client is organized, understand what their pain points are, understand their financial, the way they, you know, their financial vehicles work and what might be the roadblocks as you start to do these daily cadence or scrums or what have you within Agile. And as Joe mentioned, you know, we have seen it work very well at the micro level. However, there are efforts right now, for example, for the scalable Agile, to see how we can bring in other other functions like change management, like release management, and those aspects which are part of a bigger enterprise and fold them into Agile methodology. While you're doing something at the micro level, how do you scale it up? There's a lot of discussion about, you know, as you're doing really going fast, are you over time incurring technical debt? And if that's the case, I think there are solutions for those. We have seen those cases at our clients. There are approaches that you can apply within the small team. There are approaches you can have parallel to those small teams to address those problems. So yes, there are challenges. You have to be creative to get to the solution. So they are definitely solvable. Sometimes you just have to look, place yourself outside the box and see what will work.
You know, Joe, we started talking about the Agile Manifesto back in 2001 when you were in grade school. In 2003, a guy named Clayton Christensen wrote a book that was a very important book called The Innovator's Dilemma. And he was the first one to use this word disruption, and disruption is used everywhere. And I think if I were working at a federal agency and handling a large financial project, and someone like Joe walked in and talked about Agile, this would be like an earthquake. I mean, this is so it's hard to disrupt the standard way of doing things, isn't it? I mean, this is a challenge you must have.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, basically, it's the show me and then they understand. It's getting in that door. It's getting the first, at least, basically opening. So after you convince somebody that Agile can work, and like we mentioned, it may not in all situations, it may not be appropriate in all situations, and Agile itself is flexible. I mean, it's guidance. It's not prescriptive. You eventually do create cadences, do create your scrums, your methods, but it's all variable. But once you get into that situation, if you can show results in 4 weeks, 2 months, a deployment, those are, you know, in the federal sector, pretty much insane times to actually deliver a feature.
In Missouri, what do they say? They say,
show me.
Show me, right. Exactly the case. That's what you have to show them, something that's going on. I have seen a lot of companies attempt this and fail, and there's something called transition, and at your website, I was at the Macro Solutions website this morning, and by the way, the white paper is called Agile Success in the Federal Government from macrosolutions.com. But I was at the website today, and I saw this concept called transition with momentum. And it's like, oh, wait a minute here, Damanji. This is financial information. We don't make no stinking transition here. We do it the old way with the calculators and the green bar. And this must be a challenge for federal agencies, huh?
It definitely is. And there are really big sets, and actually I would say a spectrum when we walk into client's door. One at end of the spectrum is, you know, the leadership is already sold. They have seen the results and they want to go to Agile to start delivering quicker. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, we have clients who have heard about Agile. They also have heard about stories that have not succeeded. So they are spectacle, and then they want to figure out, is it this is really going to work with us? And what we have learned is, and that's why we call transition with momentum, is don't try to make one size fit all. Understand the client, see what they will be comfortable with, and then set up a cadence. Understand, you know, basically have them come with you. If they are already sold with the idea, they know the results, and they say, just do it. I mean, that basically levels the playing field. We can go in and just, you know, continue down with full-fledged Agile and go with it. However, when you are in the clientele where you have to slowly build that confidence, That's where things get a little bit tricky, and you know, that's where you have to be a little bit creative.
And that's where that sprint zero really comes into play, is we are setting up those cadences, we're setting up the roles and responsibilities, we identify that product owner, or in some cases that service owner, depending on what we're doing, because we're trying to apply this very fast, very quick deployments of services and IT solutions.
Demanji, you got 30 seconds. Tell me what a scrum is. Go.
All right. So to me, the scrum is making sure that we have established the cadence for the key ceremonies that are called out in Agile. For example, making sure that your backlog grooming happens, making sure that daily people come to the a stand-up meeting and they describe what are the challenges that they're facing. Are they able to deliver on time? Or, you know, what can we do to help them? Making sure that, you know, we do retrospectives.
You did it. 30 seconds. Not too bad for the first time in the radio studio. I kind of like that. Let's continue this conversation after a quick break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In this studio, Demanji Padam, radio professional, and Joe Savukas, Vice President Delivery at Macro Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Demanji Padam. He's Vice President of Technical Solutions, and Joe Savukas, Vice President of Delivery at Macro Solutions. Hey, Joe, you do anything on Twitter? Can we follow you on Twitter, your company?
Certainly can. It's at Macro Difference.
Macro Difference? That's pretty easy to find. You know, I go to events all the time. Half the time I'm in some kind of a studio or something. The other half I'm in an event. And people always walk up to me and they go, hey, that guy Demanji, he seemed real smart. What kind of phone does he have? Mm. It's like, does he have a master's degree? Is he competent? Can he solve my... They don't care about that. They want to know, well, geez, you know, what kind of phone does he have? So I've come up with a scientific 10-question test to find out which one of you two is an actual card-carrying nerd. So I'm going to start with you, Joe. See how you rank
okay.
on the nerdometer scale here. Do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
How many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
One.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Have you ever used Blab?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iOS, mm-hmm. so 6.
What's the most popular app on that?
For me, I think it's Waze.
How many tablet devices do we have? We break into your house tonight?
You would find... 4.
Not bad. And what was your most recent post in social networking?
About the Colorado mine disaster with the leakage for the gold mine.
But when?
That was probably last year.
And when is your Apple Watch due?
Apple Watch probably isn't on my horizon.
You're failing this test. And the last book you read was electronic or paper? Which was it?
It was actually paper.
Wow, let's turn to the real nerd in the room here, Demanjit. Okay, now, do you have an Instagram account?
I don't, but I do have Facebook and LinkedIn.
No. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
I'm thinking. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do have personal Twitter feed, but I'm not very active there. But
and have you ever used Blab?
Not really.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I currently have Android, but I've had iOS in the past.
Okay, we know Android people. And what's the most popular app on your little Android?
Actually, the most popular one that I use is Live ATC. I'm a private pilot, so I listen to the ATC.
Wow, that's interesting. Break into your house, how many tablet devices we see floating around there?
No, you probably meet anywhere between 5 and 10.
10? Whoa, that's the good answer, yeah. And the most recent post in social networking, when was that?
But probably have to be on my LinkedIn account somewhere around last month.
Well, that's a bad answer. And when is your Apple Watch due? I don't see anything.
Actually, I am weighing my options between Apple, Samsung, and Huawei Watch. I don't know which one I want to go with. I have heard mixed reviews of each. Right now, Huawei looks pretty interesting to me.
And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Yeah, electronic.
I think you beat him. I think you beat that, Joe. But this is a low-level competition here. But 10 tablet devices is not bad. You know, not bad at all.
Well, my daughters are kind of growing up, and so they keep asking for new stuff.
I'll bet. So, John, I read a quote to you, and you can agree, disagree, or throw a chair at me. Here is the quote. This is from Tony Scott. Agencies would benefit from a more gradual shift to agile. What do you think? Good or bad?
I need to think about that.
It's a tough one.
It is. I think gradual would be because the agencies are so large. The federal agencies are massive. But when they choose one of their subsets or sub-organizations or subset of their portfolio, they should move very, very quickly.
You know, it's tough. When I lived in Fairfax, I lived there for 30 years. I had a half-acre lawn. It's right on the precipice of getting a riding lawnmower or walk-behind lawnmower, and I never got a riding lawnmower. It's kind of a, but there may be some agencies that are maybe considering ads, they should, they shouldn't. But I think, Damanjit, if you walk in there and you sit down and listen to them, you maybe honestly say, look, Mr. Smith, look, Miss Jones, we're not the answer for you. That would be refreshing news, I think. But that's, I think, one of the skills of your company. You can evaluate and decide which is the best application for Agile.
That is correct. And it really depends on the agency. I mean, I think the key word you said there is gradual. The Agile probably is not a silver bullet, and we should not treat it as one. However, it's a very effective approach to what agencies have been following. So definitely need to look into it. They do need to work through their organizational challenges and other aspects to see how far they can go. And we are ready to work with them. Make sure that we can follow their processes at the same time as we bring the change in.
In fact, one of our initiatives is creating an agile maturity model. Basically, be able to assess a group, an organization, see where they are on the spectrum, and then if they choose to go to the Agile model, then we can assess based on that.
Right. It's a matter of being authentic and sincere. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been successful by doing, scam of the month. You've been successful because you listen and you give an honest opinion on the best way they can move forward. And it may be the best answer, but maybe it's not. And I think that's all people want to hear. They want you to just be honest. Tell me, is this a good candidate for Agile? Well, we've worked with 15 agencies very similar to this, and it looks like a good candidate. Maybe we should move. And I think that's the best answer. I'd love that answer personally. So, Joe, I'm going to give you a 30-second answer here. So, 30 seconds. What is a sprint?
Sprint, that is one of the iterations that can be, or a sprint is the components that can make up the iteration. We are currently running 3-week sprints. I know that if you look at most of the Agile models, they're 2-week sprints. And what that means is we identify the backlog items that we are going to address. We identify the resources, the talent, and use our daily scrums to identify blocks, and then we deploy whatever that goal was.
Interesting. Damanjit, I spent some time in the DOD, and I see these generals, a lot of them are like 6'8" and big tough guys. And if you sat down with a general in their financial office and you walked up to him and you said, General, you got to fail early and fail often, he would throw you out of the office, wouldn't he? I mean, this is a concept in Agile, is fail early, fail often. Now, who is going to accept that?
That is a very good point. And the thing is, there is so much emphasis on fail. I think we need to change the conversation. We need to change the emphasis to recover. I think we need to start talking about, if we don't see what is not working, we need to start working on things that will yield results. So the important point is to notice where is the downfall and start to make corrections as we go along.
Maybe it's succeed early, succeed often instead of fail often.
That will be perfect, yes.
Yeah, because it's going to happen. How can you not? No one is going to be read someone's mind and come up with a solution. This is exactly what you're thinking. This is like Edgar Cayce, mind reader. No, we're not. No one's a mind reader.
No one. Yep. Yeah.
And even at the financial level, you think accountants, debits, credits. But when I was doing ERPs, it was never the same wherever we went. Even at a COTS level, we're still configuring, we're still doing modifications, and it's like building a novel. We kind of know where the novel's going to end, but we don't know all the text and the plot devices in between that ending.
I took 4 words from your website, macrosolutions.com. I wrote them down. The 4 words are customize the Agile process. That's what you said, isn't it? Yeah. So you have to have a good experience and background in applying different types of Agile software development, because Damanjeet can walk in and say, look, buddy, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've seen this and this and this, and this is a way that has worked at this agency. Let's tweak it. Let's modify it and test it.
Yep.
And test, and if it doesn't, fine, we can always change and modify and recover quickly.
The other key concept, John, as you mentioned, is how do we modify, right? It's important for us to take a look at what is the definition of done. And that needs to include what done means. And if you skip things in what in that definition, you will not be able to define your duration of the sprint. It will be hard to understand, did we really accomplish what we started to? And that's where the customization starts.
Yeah, customization. I guess that's part of Agile, though, is it's customizing and being flexible and listening to needs and responding to those
exactly.
needs. Well, we're going to have to end our flexible interview here by talking of Agile software development. We're running out of time here, but this is something we could talk about procurement aspects of Agile software development for 3 hours, I'm sure, because this is the other half of the coin we didn't mention. We touched on it, but okay, even if you're committed to this process, how will that be incorporated in the traditional way that agencies buy software or buy services? That's a whole separate world we'll have to examine in a different interview. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, Damanjeet Padan, Vice President, Technical Solutions, and Joe Savukas, Vice President, Delivery at Macro Solutions. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.